The opinions voiced in this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered in the United States through First Allied Securities Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through First Allied Securities Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Welcome to Straight Talk Money with Mike Robertson, where Mike and his guests bring you the wisdom of Wall Street. Over the next hour, you'll not only get straight answers to your questions about your money, but also get firsthand insight into the economy and the markets from a man who's seen the ups, downs, and turnarounds. Thanks to more than 38 years' experience in the financial industry, Mike is Master Certified with Ed Slott. Get ready. Straight Talk Money starts right now. Here's Mike Robertson.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Wednesday. Yes, we are live. I'm Peggy Tuck. Now, coming up on the show today, hey, we've got a couple of new economic reports out this morning, and they're shining a rather favorable light on the economy. Of course, all eyes continue on the big OPEC meeting, which is going on in Vienna. It has oil nearly breaking the $50 mark this morning. Of course, it is cautious optimism. And is President-elect Donald Trump actually unleashing some of those animal spirits and investors? More on this and other financial news is going to be coming your way this hour on Straight Talk Money. Again, I'm Peggy Tuck. Glad to be with you. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday weekend. Joining me this morning, I'm so fortunate, is my very special co-host from the Dallas, Texas area, Charles Sizemore. Good morning, Charles. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine.
Well, good. It's good to have you here, and especially now, because we're seeing so many things go on in the economy. Of course, we had some really good news coming out, or, you know, at least it stands good, coming out in some economic reports this morning. We had the ADP jobs report out, and it looks like in November that they've really done well adding more jobs. Now, I don't know how many of these are seasonal jobs, but they added 216,000 jobs in November, according to ADP, and economists really were only looking for about 160.
Yeah, so it's not the raw number that really matters. What matters is whether it was, you know, better or worse than expected. And that definitely came in better than expected. So that's good news. Janet Yellen will be happy to see that. It gives her better justification for raising the Fed funds rate next month, or actually, yeah, coming up. I say next month, but that starts tomorrow. next month is not exactly far away.
Well, and of course, now October's original tally was 147,000, but that now has been revised down to about 119. It looks like there was some pretty good job growth. Small business, medium, and especially large businesses were adding, and a lot of gains in services like professional business services and also education and health services. Of course, mining and manufacturing are still negative on that, so I guess we do have a little ways to go.
Well, I wouldn't really expect, and this is, Donald Trump won't like this. I mean, he was, one of his big campaign promises was to bring manufacturing work back to the U.S. I think he will, actually. I think he'll bring manufacturing back to the U.S. I don't think he'll bring manufacturing jobs back to the U.S., though. The bigger trend that sort of transcends globalization or anything is just automation. You know, these days you could have robots and machines do what it took an army of workers to do before. So I would not really expect a lot of improvement on the manufacturing front. Even if manufacturing returns in force to the U.S., I really wouldn't expect manufacturing employment to.
And it's probably going to take a while. However, I will say there's a story out this morning, and many folks might have seen this on the news back when Carrier, one of their plants in Indianapolis, they announced that they were closing the plant. They were sending all the jobs to Mexico. Apparently, the Trump administration has had a meeting with them. The parent company is United Technologies, and they are planning to turn that around, and they're going to keep 1,000 of those 1,400 jobs that they were sending to Mexico right here in the United States. So good news for those folks. It was nice. I heard kind of an interview on my way in this morning from one of the people that was going to lose their job. And believe me, they really have had a turnaround. Now, Charles, another, one of the things about the jobs report I did want to mention is that it looks like wages are going up for a change.
Yeah, it's been a while. You know, one of the biggest complaints, not just from the presidential candidates this year, but just from regular Americans, has been that wage growth has really been stalled out. You really haven't seen, even though the economy has grown, it's chugged along for a long time now, you really haven't seen meaningful wage growth in decades. By some measures, average wages really haven't gone up since the 1970s, when adjusted for inflation, anyway.
Right.
So any improvement there is really a good sign. Now, what you really want to see is not just a single month or a single quarter. You want to see good, prolonged momentum there. You want to see several months, several quarters, multiple years of rising wages. We haven't seen that yet, obviously, but hopefully we will. Hopefully this is the start of a trend like that.
Okay, Charles, another report out this morning, which is obviously a barometer of what's going on in the economy, is the GDP. And apparently the GDP is up 3.2% on an annual pace. That's the strongest in more than 2 years. What's behind this?
Yeah, well, so that is interesting, because one of the biggest complaints about the recovery since 2009, everyone said, okay, yeah, we've been in a steady economic recovery since 2009, but it's been pretty lackluster. We just haven't had GDP growth really break out of that 2% range. I mean, there's been a few quarters when it did, but not on a sustained basis. It might be up 3% one quarter and basically flat the next. So I would really like to see this. I'd really like to see some follow up here. I'd love to see this followed through into the current quarter. We'll see, of course, but it's definitely, if this holds, it's definitely
right.
A good sign.
Okay, and one of the big contributors to the GDP, it said, was business investment. They're making investments in offices and factories and doing that, and that was up 10%.
And that's a big deal, because that's a durable, how do I put this? Yeah, GDP growth due to something like consumer spending tends to be short-lived. It's sort of one and done. But investment in the future is something that could lead to future growth as well. If you buy a new phone or something, then that's a one-time purchase. It helps, the Apple Store or Best
right.
Buy or whoever on that one quarter, but there's no lasting impact from it. Whereas if you're making investments, if you're building something new, if you're building out a factory, then presumably that will pay dividends for years, if not decades, into the future. So I'm definitely happy to see investment. That's been something that's been very, we just haven't seen a lot of it in recent years. What's happened is companies have really invested all their extra cash into dividends and share repurchases. Mm-hmm. They haven't really invested in their businesses. The reason is we've had a lot of just slack capacity. There's no reason to build new office buildings if you have high vacancy in the ones you already have. There's no reason to build factories if we already have more capacity than we need. So the fact that they're building out like this shows you that they are enthusiastic about the future. It shows you that they do see growth coming down the pipeline. And interestingly, this was, if they're making these kinds of investments, this has been in the works for months. So that means this has been slowly building. So that's good. That's a very positive thing to see.
And another area, I just want to mention this, Charles, where getting almost down to 30 seconds here. Exports was another area that was good. Exports were up double digits as well. We're going to take a break here, but when we come back, folks, on the other side of this, we're going to get into more about what is going on in the economy. Let's take a look at oil. See how oil is doing this morning. It's a little cautious, but we're going to see what's going on. You're listening to Straight Talk Money with Peggy Tuck and Charles Sizemore. We'll be right back.
I built.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Straight Talk Money. We're bringing you the wisdom of Wall Street. I'm Peggy Tuck, and along with my very special co-host, Charles Sizemore, who many of you have heard Charles on the show many times, and Charles actually manages money for our clients and us as well. So he's got... That's why we like to bring him on and really get to pick his brain once in a while. And we'd like you to join in as well. If you'd like to make a comment or a question, you can either go to straighttalkmoney.com and send a message. It'll come straight to my computer sitting right here in front of me. Or you can call 844-305-7800, 844-305-7800. By the way, if you're not on our email list, you might want to go on there and sign up. I just got the newsletter out yesterday, but we're not going to send you a bunch of crap in your email. We're just going to send you a weekly little newsletter, and then we'll send you any articles or charts or anything that Mike seems to think that's going to be of interest to you and make you a better investor. So, Charles, one of the, you know, we talked about the two good reports coming out. Looks good for the economy. At least it seems like it's on track to... We've had several analysts and economists on that seem to think that, you know, the end of the year was going to be a nice little rally. But I've also seen some stories on some pullbacks. And would a pullback actually be kind of a good thing if you're someone that's sitting with some dry powder on the sideline?
Well, so it depends on what market you're talking about. If you're talking about anything paying an income stream, we've seen the pullback, and I think there's really good buying opportunities there. I think you've also, I think there also could be a broader pullback just in you know, rank and file stocks. I think that would be a good thing. I think they've gotten a little bit ahead of themselves. I would say this: if you're sitting with dry powder, if you're not sure what to do with it, I wouldn't make any radical changes right now. I would not make some huge change to your portfolio. There's sort of a sentiment right now that we're at some sort of great turning point where the bond bull market is over. It's stocks are shifting into growth mode, and it's just off to the races. It's the 1990s again. I'd be very skeptical of any argument like that for a couple reasons. You know, one, there's always a certain amount of enthusiasm when a new president takes office, and particularly one who's promised a lot of pro-growth initiatives. I'm hoping for the best here. I hope they all come to fruition. But I think you do also have to kind of take it with the proverbial grain of salt. The president is only one man. He has to negotiate with Congress. He has to negotiate with the states. He has to negotiate with the courts. At the end of the day, we have a dynamic capitalist economy where the government's only a very small part of that. So all of these issues, you know, long story short, I don't think you can just extrapolate this into the future and say, oh, you know, because he wants to do tax cuts and infrastructure, it's off to the races, you know, load up on stocks. No. Stick with your asset allocation. You know, wherever you were before might make sense. It might not. I mean, it's always good to review it, but I wouldn't make any radical changes. You know, that said, yeah, I think it is a good idea to have a little bit of cash ready to deploy. You know, keep a little powder dry there so that if we do have a little pullback here, you'll be able to take advantage of it. And I'd say if you already do have cash, if you already, you know, have that cash on the sidelines, this is probably a good time to load up on some of those higher yielding stocks and sectors that you might have been eyeing for a while now, but just weren't comfortable pulling the trigger because yields had gotten low and prices had gotten high. There's really some good offers right now there. So I mean, I think if you're looking for income, it's definitely a buyer's market right now.
Okay, and Charles, one of the areas, of course, that we like and looking ahead, and we've heard this many times, is going to be your energy, your health care. Energy, of course, everybody's keeping a close watch, those in the industry, on what's going on behind the closed doors in Vienna right now with the OPEC meeting. And it looks like there's some cautious optimism. It looks like Iran is ready to be... to work a little bit more. And I mean, West Texas Intermediate was up over $49 a barrel this morning. I don't have it in front of me right now to see where it is right now, but so Is energy a good area to be still, you know, looking at? Is now the time to buy, or do you want to wait a little bit and be cautious how you dip your toes in?
Well, so energy is really one of the last sectors out there that's still cheap. Unambiguously cheap. You know, most of the rest of the market is a little on the expensive side right now, or in some cases, a lot on the expensive side. Energy is one of the few areas where you really can find a lot of value. Now, because energy seems to be kind of politically driven right now on two fronts. You know, one, obviously the OPEC meeting, but two, you do have some political machinations with, for example, Canada, opening up a pipeline to Kinder Morgan.
Right.
You also have the Dakota Access debacle going on in North Dakota right now. This is actually getting ridiculous. It's turning into, I believe one newspaper headline called it Burning Man for Hippies or something. It's gotten ridiculous, but that should be resolved pretty quickly because you have more of a pro-business administration coming in. So, yeah, bottom line, I think the values are there. I think you probably the right way to play this, though, is not to just jump in with both feet. I would probably average in. You know, if you have a dollar figure in mind, you want to invest in energy-related stocks, I might put in half of it today and sort of average the rest of it in over time.
And by the way, folks, the Canadian deal that he was referring to with Kinder Morgan, the Canadian government approved Kinder Morgan's Trans Mountain, and Enbridge also was involved. They have a Line 3 pipeline projects, which can be good if you happen to be an investor in Kinder Morgan stock. I know some people have been a little dismayed, especially when he cut the dividend and everything. I saw a story yesterday. Of course, we all know anybody can go out there and write whatever they want, but was specifically talking about this deal and saying that it could actually be very good news and that you might next year start seeing that dividend actually put back into place.
I think it's highly likely. And remember, Kinder Morgan does pay a dividend. I mean, they cut the dividend
right,
for sure. But it's still one of the higher yielding stocks in the market right now, higher yielding mainstream stocks. So you can buy some, you know, leveraged triple, you know, whammy, whatever that yields more, of course. But in terms of sort of mainstream stocks, even after the cut, Kinder Morgan is still one of the higher yielding stocks out there. Now, I think probably about by this time next year, we will have seen a dividend hike in Kinder Morgan. How much, I don't know, but I think, you know, Kinder Morgan was a dividend raising dynamo for years and years and years and years. And what happened was that they just got a little ahead of themselves. You know, they were continuing to raise that dividend, and they also were wanting to invest in growth. And in order to fund all that, they borrowed a little too heavily. Mm-hmm. So they got themselves into a mess this time last year. Well, what have they been doing? You know, the 75% of the dividend that they cut, they've been using that to fund some of their growth initiatives internally, get their debt sort of under control. So, you know, another year of that, and I think they'll be in good shape. I think they'll be able to start raising that dividend again. Now, they may never raise it as crazy gangbusters as they did before.
Right.
They're a bigger company now. They're a little bit more conservative. I mean, by just virtue of being larger, they're a little bit more conservative than they used to be. But I do think they're going to return to dividend growth here by, yeah, let's just call it the next year.
Okay, so at least if you happen to be an investor in Kinder Morgan, sometimes patience may be the way to go. Folks, we're coming up against another break, but on the other side of this, we're going to have the opening bells. Let's see how the market's going to read what's going on in the news today. And also, let's find out what Charles is buying. Let's find out what he's selling. And then also, let's find out what maybe he's just putting on hold right now. You're listening to Straight Talk Money, where we bring you the wisdom of Wall Street. We'll be back in just a moment after these important messages.
Now, more of the straight talk you need to make it in today's economy with Mike Robertson.
And, of course, that means the markets are officially open, and the markets are happy today. The Dow is up 72, the NASDAQ up over 5, and the S&P, unfortunately, that is up 6.5 right now. And what is leading this? Apparently, there is word coming out of Vienna that there has been a deal struck with OPEC to cut production. And so apparently an OPEC source told Reuters that the group had agreed on a plan to cut that output based on an outline, which you may remember back in September when they were meeting in Algiers. They had kind of like a little outline plan there. Iran was not happy with it. But at the time, so apparently they've had a little bit of a turnaround, and of course that is sending oil up as well as the stock market. So the stock market's pretty happy today, Charles, based on some pretty good economic news all the way around.
Well, it is, and getting Iran on board is really a big deal, because
yes.
Iran had taken the view for a while now that, well, you know, we've been subject to sanctions, so we should be entitled to, you know, pump more oil than everybody else because we've been at a disadvantage and yada, yada, yada. Now, whether that's true or not, I mean, that's who knows, but that was their perspective. You know, so getting them to
right.
kind of back down from that was no small feat. I don't know. You'll never really know what was offered, you know, behind closed doors and what, you know, deals were made or, you know, whose daughter agrees to marry whose son or whatever. I mean, you never know. I mean, you will never know what deal went down, but that is definitely a big deal. So that's fantastic news for, well, really for anything related to energy, but it's also good news for U.S. onshore production. Now, Donald Trump has made, you know, U.S. energy independence a long-term goal.
Right.
That's very hard to do if oil prices are extremely low. It doesn't really, you know, if oil is just, you know, make up a number, if oil's at $20 a barrel, then domestic independence really isn't realistic, because, you know, it's going to cost us probably more like $50 a barrel. So, you know, that would put our companies at a big disadvantage. But if the global price is going to stay, you know, roughly where it is, that's good. I mean, that's a bullish story for the U.S. onshore industry there.
And of course, those of you that listen to Dr. Gary Schilling, he thinks oil is going to take a big dip, but I don't know. Of course, that was before this meeting went on, so let's see what happens there. Okay, Charles, as I said, and most folks know, they hear you on the show, Charles actually manages money. He manages money for our clients. He manages money for us. And so it's winding down to the end of the year, and this is generally when a lot of people maybe want to reposition themselves. But as a portfolio manager, what are you doing right now looking at your portfolios, and how are you positioning yourself for kind of the end of the year, but then also, you know, maybe looking ahead?
You know, starting about a month ago, I started getting a little bit defensive. Now, I don't believe in aggressive market timing. I think that's a fool's errand. But I do think that, you know, you're never going to see me jump 100% in the market, 100% out, and mm-hmm. that's just a very poor way to invest. But I do try to make changes around the margins. If I think that the market is looking like there's more risk than return, I do scale back a little. So about a month ago, I was not super comfortable with the way things were going. So I went about 20 to 25% in cash in most accounts. And for me, that's pretty defensive. So
okay.
For me, I am waiting a little bit longer before I dump that back in. I am, you know, hoping to see a pullback. Yeah, we may not see one. And if we don't, we don't. But I am being patient there, waiting a little bit longer, see if I can get a good pullback. Now, where am I invested? You know, where did I
right.
remain invested, and you know, where do I feel good? I think the single best bargain right now is in real estate investment trust. And it's one of the few sectors of the market that's actually gone down recently. You know, most of the market is trading near all-time highs. REITs are actually down. At one point, they were down about 20% as a sector. Now they're down about 14 or 15, so they've recovered slightly. But they're still down aggressively. Now, of course, the question is why? You have a real estate developer coming in as president. Why on earth are real estate prices tanking? Well, it comes down to interest rates. So
okay.
interest rates, market interest rates have been rising. The bond yields have been rising. And so investors have responded by sort of punishing anything that pays that gets a decent bit of its return from income, from dividends. And so what it looks like to me is that this is just sort of a classic market overreaction. even if you believe that bond yields really are going a lot higher from here, real estate stocks have been punished unduly hard. Now, if you believe, as I do, that bond yields themselves have gone too far too fast and they're likely to actually come back down a little, then real estate is without a doubt the most attractive asset class right now. So I'm very big on REITs. They're a big part of my portfolio right now, and I'm selectively looking to add new positions there. I'm also big in energy right now, particularly in oil and gas pipelines.
Okay.
And my reason was, you know, I had no idea what direction this OPEC meeting was going to go. As much as I would love to have a ring of spies that report to me, I don't. So I really had no idea, you know, how this meeting would go. I know, wouldn't that be nice? Having your own little private CIA working for you. But I don't. So I tend to go with what I see as the safer, more predictable outcome. And with a pro-business administration coming in, I see a lot of projects that have been stonewalled for years finally
yes.
coming to fruition. Yeah, the Kinder Morgan's long-stalled cross-country pipeline, that's going to finally be green-lighted. The Dakota Access Pipeline, which has turned into just a ridiculous freak show up there in North Dakota.
Do you think that's going to eventually get approval?
Oh, Trump has said it will.
Yes.
Trump has said, if it's not approved when he takes office, it will be approved on day one. Or, maybe not day one, but, that's on the high priority list for him.
Okay.
So all these deals that have been stonewalled just forever, they're going to get the green light. And at the end of the day, there was no justification for stalling on any of these. It was just political. It was just the Obama administration's way of giving, presenting an olive branch to the environmental activist wing of the party. And now that there's no longer a reason to appease those people, these deals, which are sensible, can go through.
All right, Charles, I saw a great article that you wrote. And by the way, folks, I don't know, we've talked about this before on the show. Charles is part of a contest every single year where he has to pick one stock at the beginning and he has to follow that. He has to stick with that stock. He's actually won this contest at times. And how are you doing this year?
So this is my sixth year to be in the contest.
Okay.
And in three of the 6 years, I've either won or come in second place. So I've won
okay.
it twice, came in second place once. I was middle of the pack last year, and 2 years ago, I might have finished in last place.
But Can't be right all the time.
We'll let that one go. But this year, I'm actually duking it out. I'm in second place right now, and with 1 month left to go,
okay.
there's only 9 points separating me from number one. So number one is up 40% this year. I'm up 31, and
wow.
we have a month to go.
Okay, and I don't want to ask you what the stock is. I know everybody's going to be sitting there sending me emails going, what is it, what is it, what is it? But what industry is it in?
It's in pipelines.